Eternity. Inspiration Choir. All right. Yes. Oh, my. That's one of those songs. Oh, love that song. I came to tell you. Okay, Trinity Inspirational Choir. That's one of my favorite gospel songs. One of them, okay? I have several. But anyway, hey, welcome to the show. Ann Wooten Taylor.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I feel good every time I hear that song.
I know. It's a wonderful song, isn't it?
It sure is. And Dr. Reverend Rudolph Demery, how are you, my friend?
Well, hope all is well. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. I need to do some adjustments here. Someone cut my camera off. But Ann, I want you to talk a little bit. No, I'm not going anywhere. I just need to make some adjustments. Okay. And tell the audience a little bit about, before I get into that, hey, welcome to everyone. I forgot to tell you what this is all about. This is the Boomerang Radio Show.
I do it too.
The Boomerang Radio Show coming to you each and every Sunday, 3 p.m. out there where Dr. Demery is on the West Coast. Let's see, that's 5 p.m. where Ann is, Central Coast, and 6 p.m. on the East where I am. And the Boomerang Radio Show, you can check us out each and every Sunday. Just go to the website. As a matter of fact, I'm going to invite you to go to the website anyway, because this show will be, or this program rather, will be up on the website in about 24 hours. And how do you do that? You go to studiow.buzz. Studiow.buzz. Okay, just as simple. And leave a comment if you will. Subscribe and leave a comment. All right. So, and many, many other shows we have on this network. We have two apps. We have an Apple app and an Android app. Android is simply Studio W. Apple is studio.w. And we're also available on Google Play, Apple Play, Apple CarPlay, right? And Spotify. And this particular broadcast will be on iTunes and Spotify. And did I mention, I did say Alexa, didn't I? Anyway, let's get back to it. And tell us, I thought your show, your program yesterday was very interesting, very insightful. How do you pronounce the doctor's last name?
Dr. Aji.
Aji, I thought so. I didn't want to butcher it, so I called her.
I know. It's a beautiful last name. I don't want to mess it up.
Absolutely love it. Give us a little recap. Tell us a little bit about that program yesterday.
Well, we had Dr. Aji on. She's a clinical pharmacologist as well as the director of MedCenter PLLC. I believe it's in Searcy, Arkansas. But she's written a book called Hybrid Blessings. And the book deals with multiculturalism as from a biblical as well as a secular mental health perspective. So it's a pretty deep book and allows the reader to get introspective about what's going on with them internally. She herself is the product of parents who immigrated from Nigeria. And so she's like, she grew up being called a hybrid, a lot because she's not fluent, in speaking languages native to Nigeria. But at the same time, she has Nigerian heritage. So she is something that she understands, you know, whether you are biracial, whether you are dealing with being in a home raised by people who don't look like you or don't have your same religious beliefs or whatever the case may be. She deals with all that in her book, which I thought was very interesting. I don't recall that subject being broached by anyone, you know, in that particular format. I've heard, you know, and seen stories, articles written about African American children being raised by Caucasian parents, but I have not seen anything like what she's done. So I think she's hit upon something that is probably a stone that needs to be turned over and a lot of people can get their healing.
Right. Oh boy. You know, I tell you what, ironically, and in some cases, I'm sure that will fit into what we were talking about, today, because I had a very interesting conversation with, Dr. Demery last night. I just had this, A thought came over my head. I'm always thinking about, so, okay, what are we going to talk about tomorrow? What are we going to, talk about?
What are you going to be mad about tomorrow?
Well, I've got plenty to be angry about. But guess what? You know, it's controlled anger. It's controlled.
Right,
and it's
right,
okay to get angry because, you know, that will manifest into, now it depends on what it will manifest into. But if you are one that says, okay, I want things to be better. I want things to change. There are certain ways to do that. You can be angry and you can even take the opposite direction and say, well, I'm going to get an AR-15 and I'm going to change things that way. Or you can say, look, I want to have conversation, you know, and talk about it. Let's discuss it. And that's the reason why I think some of the powers to be or the powers to be do not want us to talk about certain things that is, dividing, also very, very toxic. To the very fabric of this country and the world, and that is the subject of racism. They don't want to talk about it, and they say, okay, and many, Dr. Demery, they say, don't talk about it, it'll go away. Well, really? Are you serious right now? No, you aren't. You know.
It hasn't worked yet.
It hasn't worked yet, because for many, 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 many years and decades, we haven't been talking about it, and guess what? It's gotten worse. So that's the thing that will happen. History, ignored or not known, can and will repeat itself, right, Dr. Demery?
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to say something that some of you might cringe about right now, but it's something that bothers me a lot. A lot of times when there are racial slurs thrown around, whether it is someone, a person out in the community, whether it's on the workforce, whether it's, your police officers or whatever it is. And they, when it's reported, it says, this person is filing a suit because, or this person was discriminated against because of this person calling, this person the N word. Do you know that offends me? The N word. Because Dr. Demery and I, we discussed this last night, and what offends me about that is that you're trying to water down the very thing that offended me or and many other people. Call it what it is. What did that person call? He called me a nigger.
You don't want to hear them say it.
Oh, no. So my question, Dr. Demery, who is it really offending? Because I've already been offended. So you don't want to have it repeated because the people who did it might be offended. Why are you doing this? So call it for what it is. This is what the crime is. Okay. And I guarantee you, if it went to court, the judge is not going to accept the N word. What is that? What did he say? Yeah. Okay. Well, let's do that. If you're going to be a journalist, be a journalist. Report the facts. Okay.
Well, the thing about it is they're trying not to add insult to injury. And I say that as a person who's been on both sides of it. Talking to a white colleague, she was, you know, real quick to say so-and-so called so-and-so niggers. And she was a white woman. And every time she said it, it was really cringy. It was like, okay, you was looking for an excuse to get it out, you know? But then on the other side, I do, you know, in hearings hear people try to dumb down, what was said because they don't want to repeat it. And it's not just the N word. People will, you know, do that when it comes to, well, so-and-so called me the B word. And because it is a legal proceeding, you're like, okay, go ahead and say the word that they referred to. So I think that it depends on the context. Okay. If we're in a legal proceeding, then yeah, you need to say exactly what you heard being said. Or if, you know, you're the boss, you know, and this is what was reported and you had to investigate it. I don't think you're being racist in that particular instance. You're just saying for the record, this is what we were told.
Right.
But there are people who I think want to say the word, just say the word. And if they've got a good excuse to do it, they will. And that goes back. I think a lot of that is our fault It's kind of hard to get mad at somebody when you made the N word look cool and seem cool, you know? And so it's in every song, and people all over the world think that that's a, you know, just a cool slang term, to call people. And they have to be educated that no, that's a racial slur. It's okay if they say it, but nobody else can say it. And it's weird. It's like, okay, either we are going to mainstream this word like we have been doing and stop getting mad about it, or we're going to stop saying it even about ourselves. And I think we should stop saying it, but.
Yeah. And you know, I don't disagree with that, because it offends me when I hear other black people call other black people niggers. Okay. That offends me. And I've stood up and I told them, look, don't do that around me. Well, you know, this is how I am. Well, guess what? You can do it at home.
Right.
That's your business, but you're not going to do it here. You know, and I remember because, in the studio, we have a balcony right outside the studio. And sometimes after the show, and I'll have some, host or co-host or whatever it is to come out, and they will start talking loosely, you know, and they've dropped that before. And I said, oh, whoa. Well, and then their excuse is, or it says, well, they hear it all the time. This is me being me. And I said, you know, you can be, me yourself away from here. I don't tolerate right. that. I said, because I have a diverse neighborhood and it's mainly white out here. And I said, I'm not going to give them the excuse to do that.
Right.
Okay. And by you doing that, and I'm allowing this to happen frequently in my presence, that means that it's okay. What if one of them come by and say, hey, oh boy, we've got a problem here.
Right.
We got a serious, serious problem. And so I wanted to dig into the history of it. Now, my sister Emma, she's on. She said, what's the big difference between another race calls you the N-word, okay, than your own race? I know the difference, but what is the big difference? Well, you know, oh, boy, I'm glad you say that. In some cases, and I think that this is a dual dynamic here. Dr. Dimmer, I'm going to play a clip, and then I want you to break this down, because we're going to talk about the history of this. Where did it actually come from? Because this is the this is a conversation that Dr. Dimmer and I had last night. And Emma, that's a very excellent question, because some do that, and believe it or not, some would do it in, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not a hateful way. Okay. When some black people, I'm telling you, they don't know the difference or feel the difference because they're doing it among them. However, if a white person came up and called them that, then they would have a whole different reaction.
Exactly.
It's no question about it. No question about it. My point is, now, then you take, then that some people have changed it all around and says, no, I'm not saying N-I-G, what is it? N-I-G-G-E-R, however you spell it, I don't even care.
Okay. Not the heart. But the
yeah. And then some people will do it N-I-G-G-A.
Right.
Okay, right. Like women, hold it. To me, there's really no difference there. To me, it isn't.
It's just grammar. That's all that is.
Okay.
It's just bad grammar.
I mean, you're having an Ebonics moment here. In my opinion, come on. And like I said, so I don't... I had to correct a relative one time, and there were no, we were all black because we were sitting, we were at a family home. I'm going to just put it that way. And one of my family members called a friend of ours that. Wow. And he got upset with me because I told him, hey, don't do that. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me like, who are you to tell me that? I said, well, I'm going to tell you. I don't like it. Don't do it. I will not do that. That's something, and you know, I'm not a saint or anything like that. And I'm really not on a high horse, but I do have standards in those. And that standard right now, because going back into the civil rights era, Dr. Demery, We know what was going on. And so how dare you do that, in my opinion? So I don't play that music on my station. I refuse to play it. Okay. And if a hip hop artist called me or someone called me and I just let them know, I ask, I say, is your music clean? Is it clean? Okay. Now I don't mind the dancing. I don't mind anything, but I don't want any vulgarity or degradation of any particular person or race or anything like that. I don't care.
You can drop it like it's hot, but don't.
Yeah. You're not going to be racist. Yeah. And on my right. network, you're not going to be racist against anyone. I don't care. You black, white, Chinese, Asian. I don't care. It's not going to happen. Okay. Because I do my best to try to live up to certain standards that I think that good quality radio deserves. And we don't get a lot of that these days. So Dr. Dimmer, I'm going to drop this, and then I need you to come in because I want you to break it all down for us, if you will, and refer the conversation. Okay, is this the one? Okay, we'll just do this one anyway. Okay, all right.
Hold on, Bill. Up with us white people. I've been thinking about that a lot the last few years, and I know I have company. Look, I get it. People of color have been asking that question for centuries. But I think a growing number of white folks are too, given what's been going on out there in our country. And notice I said, what's up with us white people? Because right now I'm not talking about those white people, the ones with the swastikas and the hoods and the tiki torches. They are a problem and a threat. They perpetrate most of the terrorism in our country, as you all in Charlottesville know better than most. But I'm talking about something bigger, more pervasive. I'm talking about all of us, white folks writ large, and maybe especially people sort of like me, self-described, progressive, don't want to be racist, good white people. Any good white people in the room? I was raised to be that sort of person. I was a little kid in the 60s and 70s, and to give you some sense of my parents, actual public opinion polls at the time showed that only a small minority, about 20% of white Americans, approved and supported Martin Luther King and his work with the civil rights movement while Dr. King was still alive. I'm proud to say my parents were in that group. Race got talked about in our house. And when the shows about that dealt with race would come on the television, they would sit us kids down, made sure we watched the Sidney Poitier movies, Roots. The message was loud and clear, and I got it. Racism is wrong. Racists are bad people. At the same time, we lived in a very white place in Minnesota. And I'll just speak for myself. I think that allowed me to believe that those white racists on the TV screen were being beamed in from some other place. It wasn't about us, really. I did not feel implicated. Now I would say I'm still in recovery from that early impression. I got into journalism in part because I cared about things like equality, justice. For a long time, racism was just such a puzzle to me. Why is it still with us when it's so clearly wrong? Why such a persistent force? Maybe I was puzzled because I wasn't yet looking in the right place or asking the right questions. Have you noticed that when people in our mostly white media report on what they consider to be racial issues, what we consider to be racial issues, what that usually means is that we're pointing our cameras and our microphones and our gaze at people of color, asking questions like, how are black folks or Native Americans, Latino or Asian Americans, how are they doing in a given community or with respect to some issue, the economy, education? I've done my share of that kind of journalism over many years. But then George Zimmerman killed Trayvon Martin, followed by this unending string of high-profile police shootings of unarmed black people, the rise of the Black Lives Matter movement, Dylann Roof and the Charleston Massacre, Oscar So White, all the incidents from the day-to-day of American life, these overtly racist incidents that we now get to see because they're captured on smartphones and sent across the internet. And beneath those visible events, the stubborn data, the studies showing systemic racism in every institution we have, housing segregation, job discrimination, the deeply racialized inequities in our schools and criminal justice system. And what really did it for me, and I know I'm not alone in this either, the rise of Donald Trump and the discovery that a solid majority of white Americans would embrace or at least accept such a raw, bitter kind of white identity politics. This was all disturbing to me as a human being. As a journalist, I found myself turning the lens around, thinking, wow, white folks are the story. Whiteness is a story. And also thinking, can I do that? What would a podcast series about whiteness sound like? And oh, by the way, this could get uncomfortable. I had seen almost no journalism that looked deeply at whiteness, but of course people of color, and especially black intellectuals, have made sharp critiques of white supremacist culture for centuries. And I knew that in the last two or three decades, scholars had done interesting work looking at race through the frame of whiteness, what it is, how we got it, how it works in the world. I started reading. And I reached out to some leading experts on race and the history of race. One of the first questions I asked was, where did this idea of being a white person come from in the first place? Science is clear. We are one human race. We're all related, all descended from a common ancestor in Africa. Some people walked out of Africa into colder, darker places and lost a lot of their melanin, some of us more than others. But genetically, we are all 99.9% the same. There's more genetic diversity within what we call racial groups than there is between racial groups. There is no gene for whiteness or blackness or Asianness or what have you. So how did this happen? How did we get this thing? How did racism start? I think if you had asked me to speculate on that in my ignorance some years ago, I probably would have said, well, I guess somewhere back in deep history, people encountered one another and they found each other strange. Your skin is a different color. Your hair is different. You dress funny. I guess I'll just go ahead and jump to the conclusion that since you're different, that you're somehow less than me, and maybe that makes it okay for me to mistreat you, right? Is that something like what we imagine or assume? And under that kind of scenario, it's all a big tragic misunderstanding. But it seems that's wrong. First of all, race is a recent invention. It's just a few hundred years old. Before that, yes, people divided themselves by religion, tribal group, language, things like that. But for most of human history, people had no notion of race. In ancient Greece, for example, and I learned this from the historian Nell Irvin Painter, the Greeks thought they were better than the other people they knew about, but not because of some idea that they were innately superior. They just thought they'd developed the most advanced culture. So they looked around at, you know, the Ethiopians, but also the Persians and the Celts, and they said, they're all kind of barbaric compared to us. Culturally, they're just not Greek, right? And yes, in the ancient world, there was lots of slavery, but people enslaved people who didn't look like them, and they often enslaved people who did. Did you know that the English word slave is derived from the word Slav? Because Slavic people were enslaved by all kinds of folks, including Western Europeans, for centuries. Right? Slavery wasn't about race either, because no one had thought up race yet. So who did? I put that question to another leading historian, Ibram Kendi. I didn't expect he would answer the question in the form of one person's name and a date, as if we were talking about the light bulb. But he did. He said in his exhaustive research, he found what he believed to be the first articulation of racist ideas. And he named the culprit. This guy should be more famous or infamous. His name is Gomes de Zurara. Portuguese man, wrote a book in the 1450s in which he did something that no one had ever done before, according to Dr. Kendi. He lumped together all of the people of Africa, vast, diverse continent, and he described them as a distinct group, inferior and beastly. Never mind that in that pre-colonial time, some of the most sophisticated cultures in the world were in Africa. Why would this guy make this claim? Turns out it helps to follow the money. First of all, Zurara was hired to write that book by the Portuguese king. And just a few years before, slave traders, here we go, slave traders tied to the Portuguese crown had effectively pioneered the Atlantic slave trade. They were the first Europeans to sail directly to sub-Saharan Africa to kidnap and enslave African people. So it was suddenly really helpful to have a story about the inferiority of African people to justify this new trade to other people, to the church, to themselves. And with the stroke of a pen, Zurara invented both blackness and whiteness, because he basically created the notion of blackness through this description of Africans. And as Dr. Kendi says, blackness has no meaning without whiteness. Other European countries followed the Portuguese lead in looking to Africa for human property and free labor, and in adopting this fiction about the inferiority of African people. I found this clarifying. Racism didn't start with a misunderstanding, it started with a lie.
Wow. Okay. Let me do this right now. Okay.
Wow. That was enlightening. And
yeah, absolutely.
Really,
over here in colonial America,
horrifying
people
on so many levels.
Bear with me, Anne.
Taking
these
racist ideas and turning them into.
Okay. We are back. And I had to share that clip because, and I'm not sure, maybe some people, if they're exposed to what this gentleman was saying, will wake up. There might be a few. Okay, I'm not holding. I hope we're all hope, right? But I think so, because see, there are many, many, many people that do not know the history, Dr. Demery, and they are believing a lie. Like this gentleman said, racism started with a lie. Now, you don't talk about the big lie. Forget about Trump and the big lie. That is the biggest lie of them all about, let's talk about non-educated, inferior people, this and that, all disparaging remarks. Then you have to ask yourself the question, and if you really know your history, you'll find out that is the biggest lie ever. We all know, because we do black history throughout the year, that black people have, oh my God, the inventions, the education, any scope of your imagination as far as building and architecture, Come on, man. So then someone had to come up with an idea. So how do we get power? How do we get power? Okay. And getting back to our conversation last night, Dr. Dimmer, I want you to jump in on it because this gentleman said a whole lot. And even in his own community, he didn't see that there was a real problem there in the very beginning. Okay. Because he just assumed that, remember in the very beginning, he was talking about these TV shows that came on and how racism permeated throughout Hollywood and wherever. And he just assumed that, no, that kid, that's not the real world because this is television, so to speak, that these people were imported from somewhere else because he didn't see that in his own neighborhood because of the family that he grew up in. If you notice, his mom and dad, they talked about it, okay? They knew there was a real problem with programs that was exposed in movies like Roots and so forth, right? But he says, wait a minute, hold, this is Hollywood. And only after being a journalist and seeing this over and over and over and over again, finally he came to the realization, no, this is dead wrong. So I applaud him, and I'm glad that I played that because coming from a white man, perhaps some other white people and other people will understand. Women, hold it, dude. We are all getting played. So back to the conversation we had last night, and Dr. Dimmer, because I was so bothered by it, and I'm saying these journalists, they don't call it for what it is. So I called up Dr. Dimmer, and I said, Dr. Dimmer, this word nigger, and I'm not going to keep repeating that, okay? I'm going to say it because I, like I said, to say the N word, come on, get rid of that. You're not going to milk toast this on me, okay? This is what we're being called. Let's address the issue. If you're doing it, if you're black, if you're white, if you're Chinese, if whatever, stop it. Stop it. And I asked Dr. Dimmer, I said, did that word come from the word Negro? And Dr. Dimmer, I want you to take it over from here because you broke it down, and I would just love the conversation, and I wish you were in on it, about the four different, classes of people or people in general, and you broke it down. I want you to take it from there. The origin of that word, where did it come from?
Well, I want to make just a real quick comment about Ann's host's book. There have been other authors that have written on the same subject. I'm just finishing a book called Our Hidden Conversations.
Awesome.
About what Americans really think about race and identity.
Come on.
Stems from Michelle Norris is the author, and she's the creator of a project called the Race Card Project.
Wow.
May not be familiar with that, but they're talking about the same kind of things that this lady's talking about, and had a new show, and there's been people that have been talking about it for a while. She may be the one that initiated, I don't know, but it's been around in the conversation, and there's a lot of ink that's been spilt on that subject.
Awesome.
But what William were talking about was the fact that when we talk about derogatory terms like this guy does, and he missed it. I think he's on track, but he missed it by about 3,000 years. The Greek word for slave is doulos, and the Hebrew word is very similar. And so, I mean, we look at how the Egyptians enslaved the Hebrew people because they weren't Jews yet. People
called
Jews, but they weren't Jews yet. And this is a little highly controversial too, because many people, like me, believe that the Jews didn't become Jews till Mount Sinai. And why is that? Because that's when they got the book. That's when they got the law. That's when they got the five books of Moses, was after Sinai, when Joshua went into the promised land. Moses wasn't able to go because, you know why, he hit the rock and all that kind of stuff. He cursed and everything else. But the issue is that the word slave, enslavement goes way back before the Portuguese. They just kind of made it fashionable. But when we look at the major, and this was, to me, almost kind of like elementary in a sense. And you probably know about this, and I want to, you know, get your comment that, mm-hmm. you know, there's four races of people that's identified in the world. Caucasoid, which is where the white folks come from. Mongoloid, which is where most of the Asians come from. Negroid is where most of us come from. And I can't remember the fourth one, William. I looked it up, but I couldn't remember what there's a fourth race of people. And out of that comes African-Americans, which this term, like, for example, William, my wife won't even allow that word used in our house.
Right.
We can't use that word. I don't care. Anybody comes in our house, you can't use that word because she does not allow it. And I follow suit with her, you know, wishes and whatnot. So you can't use that word. Matter of fact, my wife don't even like you cussing in the house.
Right, right.
Sometimes I slip and she just... But it comes back to this, that anytime you use a derogatory term about a group of people, it's very offensive. I mean, they call Italians wops. They call Irish people, I can't remember what the derogatory term for Irish people is. I mean,
is it patty?
I think that's what it is. Yeah, that's what the term white patty came from, because mm-hmm. today is St. Patrick's Day. And, you know, St. Patrick was the guy back in the 4th century who drove all the snakes out of Ireland and, you know, developed the four-leaf clover, which he used to, you know, magnify what the Trinity is and all of that kind of stuff. And that's where you get your lucky charm from and all that kind of stuff. Mm. If there's power in a piece of wood or a piece of metal, I think you're sadly mistaken. But anyway, that's a topic for a whole other discussion. So where we began in was that I was looking at the fact that racism becomes that much more magnified, and you know this, with power. Mm. And how you allow people to have power over you. Mm. Now, a lot of people have criticized me because I got a little angry, and this stemmed out of a discussion that I had with an African gentleman. And I said, no, you guys don't are not free of the whole issue of slavery. You guys are part of it. I'm not saying you're all of it, because you allowed them to take us and bring us over here.
Right.
Black people that had slaves as well. Mm-hmm. So you can't put the blame, because they try to call us, you know, less than because we're not Africans. You know, matter of fact, when I was in Africa, I think I told you guys this before, they called me a white traveler.
What?
And I've done DNA tests. I don't have any white blood in me at all.
But wow.
White traveler. So, you know, Africans within themselves have their own issues regarding what this whole concept of racism. So when we look at how that term that William doesn't like to use, and I won't repeat it, came about, was that it was developed as a way of being derogatory, yeah. a way of demeaning, a way of putting down, a way of systematically subjecting people into believing they were less than. And there's many, you know, Africans, unfortunately, during that time, the antebellum period, and the before the Reconstruction period in this country, where you know, they felt, well, maybe I am less than because I can't read, I can't do this. It's only because reason why, because you never taught it before,
right? Not, right. You
can't do it. It just that you know, you never taught it. So the issue is when we talk about, you know, certain words that are used, like for example, there's certain words that are used about Native Americans. One of the reasons why the Washington Redskins changed their name was because they were called Redskins. Mm-hmm. And Redskins is a derogatory term for Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I have Hispanic blood flowing through my veins. It offends me when people use derogatory terms referring to Hispanics. Mm-hmm. You know, like, for example, me and my wife had gotten into this discussion a while back, saying, oh, well, those people are Mexicans. That is an offensive word. Mm-hmm. I don't even hear that. It boils my blood when I hear people say that, because that is a derogatory term identifying Hispanic people or Latin people, depending, because that's two separate definitions of what Latins are and what Hispanics are.
So when they say Mexican, what did she say the word was?
Well, the derogatory term is Mexican.
Mexican, okay. I never heard that one.
Yeah, some people will use that term. It's just like, for example, if you call a Filipino person a flip, that's very derogatory.
I hadn't heard that one either.
Yeah, so you have to be, you know, a little careful when you're in different cultures and around different cultures, how you use different terms that you may have heard in the past that are very offensive to them. Mm-hmm. And so the issue is one of the reasons why it was used here in the United States was to subjugate, was to castigate, was to make us feel less than. It was a systematic way, along with all the other things that were done, to demean us and to make us feel less than. And so when you use that term, it's horrifying. Like William said, I don't like it either. And that we have the audacity, some of us, not all of us, but a portion of our culture uses that term in a very flippant way. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, it's used, like William said, and he knows more about this than I do, in the music industry, where they basically reuse it for selling money. Or, hey, blanky blank, you know.
Right.
It became a reasonable thing. That didn't mean that it was right or that it was kosher, but they tried to make it kosher and tried to make it all right. But when you look at the history of it and the rudimentaries behind the foundation of it, it's very, very derogatory, very, very demeaning. And so I think that's why it's so important for us when me and William had the discussion and the other night was that when you look behind the history of places, persons, and things, and this word we're talking about, when you look behind the meaning of it and where it came from, you wouldn't dare use it either, just like William said. You know, when I'm around people and I hear them say that, and they may get mad at me too, William, look, you know, let's not use that word because it's very offensive and it's demeaning. And that's why today, and you were commenting on it a little bit, you have to be so careful nowadays to be politically correct and sound in your issues surrounding harassment.
Right.
Problems harassment, not just sex harassment. Sex harassment is one of the things that, you know, obviously it's become very popular with a few cases and that you know better than I do, court cases, that were won by women who were discriminated against because of their gender. But we know that there are issues surrounding that regarding race.
Right.
As well. Mm-hmm. Because, like the gentleman was saying, which he's so correct, and William, you've heard me say it many times, and I'll end with this. There's no such thing as race.
Right.
Racist archaeologists and anthropologists and even sociologists develop this term to be divisive and to be separate. Like he said, we are all the same on the mitochondria level. The mitochondria is where the DNA is developed from. And like I have said this before, there are black people that I cannot take blood from. Because I'm O positive. And O positive is a universal donor. Almost everybody can take my blood, but I can only take O positive blood. So the point being right there, it shows that we are all one. We're not separate. We're all part of the same issue, and that is the fact that we are part of the human race.
Right.
Cultures and understand all of that, certain issues and cultural milieu and subtle nuances and all that kind of stuff. But when you look at it, we're all part of the human race. And all one in Satan, I believe, when you look at the whole bottom issue behind this, is the one that developed hatred between us. You might say, why is there still sin in the world? That's because Satan is still in the world. Satan is power. Jesus even said, you know, when he was responding to the devil when he was tempted in the wilderness, you know, this world has been given to me. And if you follow me back to Adam and Eve, we can. There's a lot of issues and scriptures that back that up. So I think, William, I hope I just opened the discussion up a little bit. And Ann, I want to get, you know, probably your comment from a pastor.
You said a little bit? No, I don't want you to apologize at all. Now, you mentioned something that, about those four races. Was Mongolian part of that?
He said that one.
You just said Mongolian. And there was something else that I'm...
But archaeologists and anthropologists have developed their four distinctive, they call it races, I just say cultural nuances that identify the human existence.
Right, right. Because I was trying to look at something else right here on another computer here, because we might be able to identify that before it's all over. But Ann, I really want your take on that. There's a lot to unravel. Okay.
There is. I agree with what Reverend Demery said.
Oh, so do I. So do I.
My thing is, I remember growing up in the 80s and 90s, and it was very popular to say the word. You know, Reverend Demery mentioned that it was, you know, in a lot of the songs and whatnot. But I don't know if you guys remember this. But I used to like to watch Sanford and Son and the Jeffersons. Fred said the N-word. And so did George Jefferson say the N-word. And you can watch the episodes and see it. So it seemed like there was some turn, I guess, at that particular time where if you're like me and you like old movies, you see a very different portrayal of African Americans. You see, you know, the Sidney Poitiers and Harry Belafonte's and Lena Horne's, everybody doing their best to show African Americans in the most positive light, period. You know, Diane Carroll, all of them.
Oh, yes.
And one of my favorite movies, we talked about it not too terribly long ago on the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show when we had, Dr. Roy Boyd on, the professor. And we were talking about the Superfly, trilogy. And I mentioned that one of my favorite movies is Cabin in the Sky. And it's an all black cast. But it's an excellent movie, and it shows African American people at the time, right where they were. They were poor, but they were faithful. Some of them were criminal minded. Some of them were saints. Some of them were sinners. It was funny, but there was just so much grace, so much dignity, so much pride in who they were and what they were doing. And so you sort of had all that turned around, and how we portrayed ourselves, I think. Don't get me wrong. I think the Jeffersons did a wonderful job of showing black people being successful. And, you know,
Bill Cosby.
Well, I've never heard Bill Cosby say an N word, but I think portray us as, you know, in a very positive
light. They were upper class, right?
A very, very positive light. I think Diane Carroll had a show in the 60s where she was a single mom and she portrayed, you know, black people in a really positive light. But then, you know, you came to the point of the 80s where, you know, we didn't have smartphones with cameras and you couldn't see the police brutality. You couldn't see the harassment and all that, and people, you know, had just had enough, and so you got a different type of view from a different standpoint of what was happening. But with that came the idea that, you know, all black people like to say the N-word, that you're not black if you don't behave a certain way, talk a certain way. And so it was kind of hard to escape, because I remember we all said the N-word. I mean, where I was growing up, you in school, the kids called each other that. It was all on the songs, all in the radio. And you felt like, because what was said is that what white people said is not what we mean. And as I grew older, and I went to Africa, I lived and I learned, I'm like, okay, it's one thing to make that statement. It's another thing to look at this trying to step back and looking at it objectively and honestly, you know, introspectively. Does it hurt to hear that word? If it hurts to hear that word, then why are you saying it? You know, I know you want to take it and turn it around into something positive, but if you are going to turn it around into a positive, then that means that everybody's going to get set. And I'll give you a real simple example. For a long time, being a Christian was a derogatory thing. They looked at Christianity as a cult in the beginning. If you don't believe me, just read the Bible when Jesus was alive ministering to people. And after his death, when the early Christians were prosecuted to death, folks didn't like Christians. And if they called you one, they didn't like you very much. But today Christianity is embraced and it's beginning to be a bad term after the MAGA movement, but because some people actually equate these days Christianity with terrorism, believe it or not. But for the most part, it's a blessing, it's an honor, it's a privilege to be called a Christian. You don't get that when you say the N-word. It's not looked at as a blessing, an honor, or a privilege when somebody calls you that. It is still a hurtful term. And, you know, even though the young people when I was growing up would use that term generously and often, if an older person called you that, if your grandmama or your great aunt or somebody like that said the N-word, they meant it the way white people meant it, because you had upset them. You had done something that they consider you proving, you know, everything that white people said about black people was right. And they tell you, stop acting like an N-word, you know, or something like that. They meant that. So it wasn't used in a positive light, in that way too. So I think we've got I don't want to say schizophrenic view, when it comes to the word, but we're at a point where we need to make a choice. You've got people all over the world saying it because they don't know, how it makes us feel. But then at the same time, you've got our music, our movies, our books, all this stuff going all over the world, making it seem like it's okay. So I think we're at a point where we're going to have to make a decision. Is this word still going to hurt you every time you hear it? And if so, stop saying it, period. If you don't want to stop saying it, then don't get mad, because you have put it out there to the point where everybody thinks it's okay to say it. Everybody does. I mean, people in Argentina saying it, people in South Korea were making songs and using the N-word, and then folks getting upset. Well, they don't know. You know what I'm saying? How would they know if they don't live here, if they don't, if they're not a part of the cultural nuances in America? All they know is this is a really good song, and they use this particular word, and it's just a word to them. So I think that's kind of where we are now, and we as a people need to make a decision. What do you think, Reverend Demery?
Well, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, there's no doubt about, you know, the conversation in terms of what you're saying is exactly true. And I think that pop culture and pseudo culture that developed the fact that this word was okay, it kind of gave for some, I know when I was growing up in the 60s and the 70s, it kind of gave a sense of identification, a mm-hmm. sense of okayness, that we are a part of a singular group, that mm-hmm. the word wasn't as bad as what a lot of the white folks thought.